Next week, Elaine Stritch opens on Broadway with her one-woman show, At Liberty, in which she reminisces about her more than 50-year career and sings some of the songs she's known for. She's best known for her starring role in Noel Coward's musical, Sail Away, a role he wrote for her, and her performance in Stephen Sondheim's musical, Company, in which she sang The Ladies Who Lunch. Early in her career, she starred in a Broadway revival of Rodgers and Hart's Pal Joey and understudied Ethel Merman in Call Me Madam. More recently, she was in the Harold Prince revival of Showboat. I spoke with her in 1999. In honor of Noel Coward's centennial, she was starring in a production of his musical Sail Away, recreating her role as Mimi Paragon, the director of a cruise ship who has to deal with the needy and often irritating passengers. Here she is singing Coward's song about insufferable tourists, Why Do the Wrong People Travel, from the 1961 original cast recording of Sail Away.
Travel, they say, improves the mind, an irritating platitude, which frankly entre-new is very far from true. Personally, I've yet to find that longitude and latitude can educate those scores of monumental bores who travel in groups and herds and troops of various breeds and sexes till the whole world reels to shouts and squeals and the clicking of roly flexes. Why do the wrong people travel, 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 when the right people stay back home? What compulsion compels them, and who the hell tells them to drag their clans to Zanzibar instead of staying quietly in Omaha? The Taj Mahal and the Grand Canal and the sunny French Riviera would be less oppressed if the Middle West would settle for somewhere rather nearer. Please do not think that I criticize or cavil at a genuine urge to roam. But why? When the right people stay back home and mind their business, when the right people stay back home with Cinerama, when the right people stay back home. I'm merely asking why the right people stay back home.
Elaine Stritch, welcome to Fresh Air. I'm wondering what personal meaning the story of Sail Away had for Noel Coward. For instance, Graham Payne and Sheridan Morley edited the diaries of Noel Coward, and in their introduction, they wrote that Sail Away reflected his passion for travel, his loathing of tourists, his horror of old age, and his love of the sun. Did he talk with you at all about traveling and how his ideas about traveling figured into the story of Sail Away?
No. He didn't. He is not Gadge Kazan. He is not one of those kind of directors. He had a young woman on his hands who had a lot of responsibility ahead of her. And he loved me. That was the best part. And I loved him. And when you've got that, you don't have many problems, Terry. You really don't. It's what I miss when I go into rehearsal for a show and I don't get that. I don't get any chemical connection with the director. You might as well go home. It's not worth going to rehearsal. I mean, somebody's got to understand you, and you've got to understand them. It's like a bad marriage, but this was a good marriage. And he did not go into depths about how he felt. He explained to me how he wanted me to play this part, and I was very right for the part, according to Noel. I had Mimi Paragon, his idea of her humor, and her... he must have seen some depth in me, or he would never have turned this part over to me.
What was it like rehearsing with Noel Coward? What kind of advice did he give you about the songs and how to sing them?
Just wonderful. He would. Everything was not everything was a joke, but everything had humor. Everything, and humor to me is one of the most important virtues, I call it, qualities that anybody can have about anything. I don't care whether you're digging ditches or singing Noel Coward. If you do it with humor, you're ahead of the game. And he certainly had a, you know, a double scoop of that.
Did he give you advice about singing his lyrics or about singing his melodies?
No. Richard Rodgers, he was not, if you'd follow me.
What kind of advice would Rodgers give you that Noel Coward wouldn't?
exacting to the point of suicide. But I loved him. But boy, I'll give you an example. I sang Zip for Richard Rodgers. This is a great antithesis to Noel Coward. I sang Zip in Pal Joey long before I did the Noel Coward show. And I used to say, Zip, Walter Lippmann wasn't brilliant today. And he would stop me and say, Elaine, it is Zip, Walter Lippmann was. And I said, oh, Jesus. And as soon as he left the theater, I'd sing, Zip, Walter Lippmann. So I was a bad girl. But I was so convinced that I was right about that. And just between you and me, I was right. I'm telling that story for the reason is that Noel respected your interpretation, that extra something that you brought to his music. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He was very appreciative of it. And if you were wrong, did you get it? I wouldn't want to meet Noel Coward in a dark alley. I can tell you that right now. I don't want Noel Coward mad at me.
Did he ever get mad with any of the cast members? And what was he like then?
Yes, he did, indeed. Yes, absolutely. There was a young guy that came to rehearse audition for Noel Coward. And I happened to be in the theater that morning. And, of course, Noel always looked like a million bucks. And this guy came in to sing for Noel Coward, and he had jeans on and a dirty sweatshirt and blah, blah, blah. And he, you know, and Noel would say, are you going to sing for me? And this young man said, well, it's okay with me. I don't care. You know, he was rude and awful and filthy and just unbelievable. And he said, I can sing Star Spangled Banner. Oh, boy. So Noel, who was very full of curiosity, said, do you have an accompanist? And this young man said, no, I just sing it. So he said, well, just sing it. And the young man sang it, and Noel interrupted him halfway through it. He said, young man, I'm not going to let you finish. I want you to leave the theater. I want you to stop maybe by on your way home and pick up a very, very inexpensive white shirt, preferably, and a new pair of jeans, which are perfectly all right with me, and some nice, clean sneakers. And then I want you to go home. And then I want you to take a very, very long shower with a lot of soap and a lot of water. And then I want you to get out of the shower and put on your clean jeans and your new shirt and your new scuffies. And then I think you should get out of the theater because you have absolutely no talent at all. Well, it was brilliant. I fell about, and my laugh came out from the back of the theater. And he said, good morning, Stritchie. And then he went right on, and this guy left with a shrug of his shoulders like he didn't understand one bloody thing he just heard. He thought this man was from Mars, naturally. Anyway, what a guy. What a terrific. And it wasn't mean, you know? It was just brilliant.
I want to read a couple of things that have been said about your relationship with Noel Coward. Graham Payne, who was a good friend of Noel Coward, wrote this about you in his book about Noel Coward. He said, Coward cherished Elaine Stritch's similarities with Gertrude Lawrence, her verve, her irreverence, her infectious vulgarity. And Cole Leslie, who I think was Noel Coward's secretary and wrote a book about him, said, Elaine Stritch's devout Catholicism perhaps fascinated Noel the most. And Noel Coward wrote himself in his diary, Stritch was wildly enthusiastic and very funny, but I foresee little clouds in the azure sky. She is an ardent Catholic and has been in analysis for 5 years. Oh, dear.
I think it's I think it's a great combination, and it certainly figures if you're an ardent Catholic that you'd end up on a couch.
Right.
So I knew exactly where he was coming from. Not then, but I do now.
Why do you think he was so fascinated by your Catholicism?
Well, because I was very serious about it, and I said my prayers and went to Mass and Communion and stuff like that. And then I would say four-letter words occasionally, and that combination made him laugh and fascinated him. I smoked, I drank, I did all the kicking my heels up type things, but I went to Mass on Sunday, so they say that he's an honest man, that kind of thing.
Elaine Stritch recorded in 1999. Her one-woman show, At Liberty, opens on Broadway next week. Here she is with her signature song, The Ladies Who Lunch, from the original cast recording of Stephen Sondheim's musical, Company.
I'd like to propose a toast. Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh, lounging in their caftans and planning a brunch on their own behalf. Off to the gym, then to a fitting, claiming their fat. And looking grim, 'cause they've been sitting, choosing a hat. Does anyone still wear a hat? I'll drink to that. Here's to the girls who stay smart. Aren't they a gas? Rushing to their classes in optical art, wishing it would pass. Another long, exhausting day, another $1,000, a matinee, a Pinter play, perhaps a piece of mind. Here's to the girls who play wife, aren't they too much? Keeping house but clutching a copy of Life just to keep in touch. The ones who follow the rules and meet themselves at the schools, too busy to know that they're fools. Aren't they a gem? I'll drink to them. Let's all drink to them.
Elaine Stritch from the original cast recording of Company. This is Fresh Air.